Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. We are continuing this week's conversations in regard to mental illness and how much of our world is consumed by mental illness. And so many of the other problems that we talk about on the show have to do with the repercussions from mental illness. Mental illness is a very, very, very wide spectrum. Mental illness is depression, anxiety, those simple things that a lot of people are bothered by every now and then. I mean, everybody gets depressed every now and then. Everybody gets anxious every now and then. But imagine living your life in a constant of that. Imagine not ever being able to straighten out everything that's in your head. That's what mental illness means to me. Everything I've read, all the different people I've talked to in my lifetime, the challenges that come to our mind, that challenge the whole rest of our life, and not being able to decipher what they mean, even as a young child, even as a very young child, having thoughts come to your mind and not having any idea what to do with them, having feelings that you don't understand. Most of us make it through all that and learn to actually decipher what comes into our mind and what we're thinking about. Some of us cannot. In today's world, because of many different things that have manifested from being on this earth for so many years, there's alcohol consumption, there's chemical consumption, there's all the things that are man-made that affect all of us differently. So there's lots of reasons today for suffering from any kind of mental anguish. Some of them are hereditary, and some of them were actually born with and having. I find some of it to be incredibly interesting. I find some of it to be very scary. And I find some of it to be in a place where we should be able to do a lot more to help, a lot more to understand and to process the people that are struggling with these kind of illnesses. And I'm not talking about being placed in a home where somebody continually takes care of them and that's their life. I think there needs to be something else. I think there needs to be, first of all, give value to that person regardless of what their issues are. And with all the wonderful things that we have today, all the nuances with the drugs that can cause harm but can also bring good, the chemicals that can cause harm but can also bring good, and what we know about our lifestyle today, what we know about what's natural, what doesn't have anything harmful in it, that actually brings some relief to some of these things. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about being able to utilize some of our food quality, available herbs and mixes and foods and all of the above to bring some relief to people without any of those disclaiming side effects that we hear on commercials every day. The newest one is for somebody who's suffering from a depression, and I'm not going to say the names of all of these, but if you watch the commercials, the disclaimers are horrendous. It's almost a joke. So today, with the help of Shelley and Monica, we're going to try to hone in on some of these things that will bring a little bit of relief. I don't think cure is a good word to ever use, because cure means you take something and it's over with. I think mental illness, as with many of our other challenges, are lifelong challenges, and we will always have to work to get them to a better place. So looking for a quick fix is probably not going to happen with any of these things, just like being thin or being not so thin, or diabetes or no diabetes. There are lots of things that we can do to make all those things better today. And all of them concern food and what you can use that grows in our earth that doesn't have chemicals on it to bring you to a better place. So I'm going to bring in the girls, the ladies, I should say. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Rainey.
How are you?
I'm doing good, and you?
I'm good. I I still have some little thing going on in my throat today, but
I've had it the past couple of days too. So it's like I said yesterday, it's because of all the weather changes, and us Floridians don't like the cooler temps much.
I'm downing my cell food and my colloidal silver and my cemento to make sure that I keep whatever it is knocking at my door out. So, good
right.
morning, Monica.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you today? I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. Doing well.
That's good. So I think we have a lot to talk about today. I hope that between the three of us, we can offer some a little bit of help to the people that are struggling out there. I don't know whether you've been able to listen to the show this week, Monica, but I went to a big forum that was sponsored by the mental health clinics here in South Florida, and it was called Okay to Talk. And what they're really trying to do is break the connection between mental illness and the legal system. In other words, stop so much of our mentally challenged population from being so confused about the system and where they can get help and how they can get help, and the system that is trying to help but not being as successful as needed, because there's so many times when the ball gets dropped. And there's so many times when the person in question can't get their meds. There's some kind of bureaucracy involved about insurance or Medicaid or whatever the case might be. And very often they turn to street drugs, to self-medicate, or petty crime to be able to survive, and they end up in the system, in the incarcerated, and often that's where they get a lot of the help that gets them on the straight and narrow again. So that's a good thing, but it seems to me like that's kind of a torn Band-Aid or a broken fix or whatever you want to call it. I don't think somebody who's suffering from all the things that somebody with mental challenges and all the anguish that is implied with mental illness should have to go through being incarcerated like they're a criminal. I can't explain to a kid why that would be all right, and that's how I judge everything. If I think I could explain to an 8-year-old why we do something that we do and it makes sense and they say, oh, yeah, I understand why we do that, then it's usually okay. But how do you explain to somebody, your mom's in jail because she was born sick, she has stuff going on in her head that she can't sort out, and because of that, she's in jail. How do you explain that to a child? And in many cases, somebody has to do that. So I'd like to talk about some of the things that we can help with. I realize that you don't have any magic, either one of you, I know I don't, that's going to help somebody who's been diagnosed with severe schizophrenia or severe bipolarism. A lot of the illnesses that are out there are extremely challenging. But I do think that in the natural arena, there are things that can help anxiety, and there are things that can help depression, things like that. So that's really what I'd like to talk about today. I think whichever one of you would like to open this conversation with some of the things that you are aware of and you know can help, I think that would be great. Who wants to start?
Well, I could jump in.
Go ahead.
Just before we get started, I just want to reemphasize something that you said a few minutes ago, is that and sometimes this is unfortunate, but mental illness or mental disorder, because it's not always physiological. Sometimes it's actually there's been a brain injury that brings about a mental disorder and things like that. But what it does is it causes suffering from uncontrolled emotional responses to life. Okay, either depression or anger or fear or things like this. All right. But these emotions are also part of our natural response to things that happen to us. So if you're depressed because something traumatic just happened, or if you're fearful or you're angry because something just happened and you're responding to it, that's not a mental illness and it's not a mental disorder. And one of the things, in fact, I just watched this seminar yesterday. One of the things is, like so many other things in our life, people want a quick fix. People don't want to not be in a state of feeling all right. The issue with trying to constantly cover up emotions is that you don't go through the normal routine that the mind has to go through in order to get you to a better place. So if you've ever heard about the five stages of mourning or something like that, and it goes through, you know, depression, sadness, and then it goes into anger, and then it goes into acceptance and things like that. Well, when you go through all those stages, once you come out on the other side, you're better. The situation is behind you, and you've recovered completely because your body and mind has gone through all the processes that brings you naturally to a better place. When you stop that process at the very beginning because you're suffering, all right, and you numb that emotion and you drive it down with medication, what it does is it causes a cycle where you never get past that, and then you always have to stay on medication to keep you in a better place. So some mental illnesses are caused because people choose to medicate normal reactions to life to blot it out, instead of just allowing themselves to go through the process and understanding that's what it is. It's a process, it's temporary, and if you allow yourself to go through the steps, you'll be in a better place. So I think that's something that's important to understand. And a lot of these natural remedies that Monica and I are going to be talking about are better to use during that normal response phase, because it can naturally help you take the edge off of your emotional responses, whether it be sadness or anger or whatever, without artificially altering the body's response, and it can still allow you to go through all the phases you need to. One of them is Bach flower remedies. Now, Bach flower remedies have been around for as long as I've known, and they're very, very, very effective. I guess it would be considered a type of aromatherapy, although I'm probably calling it the wrong thing, but it's Bach, B-A-C-H. Probably the most commonly sold is Rescue Remedy, and that's for traumatic events, that's for something that just happens to you, some sort of a tragedy or some sort of a shock or something like that. People can take the Rescue Remedy to at least get themselves in a slightly better place. Rescue Remedy can also be used daily. It's homeopathic. It's a spray or a liquid that you can put under your tongue, and very, very effective in taking the edge off of responses. It's not like a pharmaceutical drug, though. It doesn't numb you. It doesn't artificially make you feel like everything's okay. what it does is it takes the edge off of a particular situation you're dealing with that allows you to still deal with the situation, that allows you to go through all the different changes that you have to go through to finally get permanently to a better place, but it doesn't, but it takes the intensity off of it so that you can function.
How do you feel about
that? I agree with that.
I do too. In my position at the Institute, there was many times when I used Rescue Remedy. If we had a guest staying with us, often when a guest stayed for a long time, things would happen in their outside life. And there were several times when I would sit with somebody when a loved one was lost while they were with us, or they'd get bad news, and they would be pretty, if you'll excuse the pun, raw because of the program, and it would hit them very hard. So Rescue Remedy was a big part of how we administered some help to them.
Just to make one other comment before we continue, the Bach Flower Remedies, there's many of them. The Rescue Remedy, like I said, is the most common, but there are many different types, and they're for specific emotional sensations. There's one called agrimony. There's another one with mustard seed. There's a bunch of them. I think there's like probably almost 20 different types of Bach Flower Remedies. And you can go on the website and you can look at it, and they actually give you a little description of what emotional symptoms you're having, whether it be severe grief or severe anger or a sense of feeling lost. I mean, they actually tell you, okay, so if this is what you're feeling, then use agrimony. If this is what you're feeling, then use this one or that one. The Rescue Remedy is exactly that. It's for an intense trauma. But for just underlying not feeling okay all the time, if you could identify what the source of your suffering is, then there's a Bach Flower Remedy that would match that. So it would be worth, if somebody's going to that, go to the website and take a look at the different type of emotional symptoms they talk about.
Well, I think that's... Did I lose you, girl?
Hello? No, I'm here.
Okay.
And I can still hear you.
Okay, so...
I have a different take on it. A little different than what you all are talking about. There's a 2013 researchers at UCLA did a study on depression, anxiety, irritability, panic disorders, all kinds of different mental illnesses. And they discovered that it all has to do with diet. The standard American diet has been so bad for the last 40 years or so. And if you think about it, 50, 60 years ago, how many people lived on the street who had mental illness? You didn't see that many street people who definitely had a mental illness. It was uncommon because people were eating a different kind of diet than we are, as far as all the chemicals that are in the food. And one of the things that's really becoming more and more apparent, and this UCLA study discovered this, is our gut bacteria, the probiotics in our gut, is so messed up that it's making people have psychological problems, depression, anxiety, panic disorders, obsessive-compulsive disorders. It does so many things because serotonin is made in your gut, and that's the happy hormone, happy chemical that you naturally make. And if your gut is not happy, if you don't have the correct bacteria in your gut then your mind is not going to be happy. There's a huge correlation between your gut and your mind. So many people have heartburn, GERD, and then they develop other things like depression and social disorders, all this, and it all
I agree
has
with
to
that
do.
110%.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't think even schizophrenia can be somewhat cured. Okay, I shouldn't say cured. Could be somewhat helped with correcting the bacteria in your gut. And, of course, that goes to the mind. And I have a study here that I've been looking at. It's called The Verge, verge.com. Gut Feelings, The Future of Psychiatry May Be in Your Stomach. It's a fantastic article if anybody wants to go and read that.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay, good. I'll send you the link after the show. But
perfect.
Then there's a couple of other things that we had talked about before was magnesium. That's the calming mineral that your body absolutely must have and most people are deficient in. And it does so many things. And magnesium glycinate is the best one that I have found. And it's chelated. And it tends to provide the highest level of absorption. Sorry, I can't talk too early. But
Monica, what does chelated mean? What does chelated mean?
Well, darn, Rini, I didn't look that up. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
And you know,
I
will now for sure because
yeah.
I just
because
took
I don't know
chelated.
What it means.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not sure either. Somehow it's put together, and they said that it provides the highest level of absorption, and that's what I take, magnesium glycinate.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference within like a half hour is, you know, you feel so much better, you feel calmer. I used, just as an aside, I used mm-hmm. to get like a panic disorder or anxiety. I would be laying in bed waiting to fall asleep and somebody in the next room, in the living room or whatever, would slam a door and I would feel such panic, like fear. And my heart would start beating. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's just a noise. What is wrong with me? So I started getting this every night. It was like a fight or flight kind of emotion, or my body would freeze up like somebody's going to come through the door like an axe murderer or something. So I looked it up. It's a magnesium deficiency. I started taking the magnesium glycinate, and I have not had it since. So it's because our diet is so bad, and I don't care how much vegetables you're eating. It doesn't matter. The soil that our vegetables, even organic, that our soil that the vegetables are grown in just doesn't have as much magnesium now as it had 40, 50 years ago. And that is one of the things that could help so many people who are depressed, who have problems sleeping. We've talked about this before, panic disorders. And if they don't want to run out and get the magnesium glycinate, spend a dollar at any grocery store, Epsom salts will get the magnesium in your body. Just 2 cups in a very warm bath water And that will, your body will absorb the Epsom salts in your bath, and you will sleep like a baby and feel so calm and relaxed. It's just amazing. And you could do that 2 or 3 times a week, you know, until you get the magnesium glycinate or the magnesium oil that you spray on your body, because that also, you know, helps with pain. But there's other things you can do, too. Other vitamins and minerals that you need that will combat depression and anxiety.
Let me ask a question about this. Shelley and I are both advocates of magnesium as well, and I think we've talked about it on the show even before you joined us, because we use that to help Mikey's burns and everything. So we see its worth, and we understand that. What form do you take magnesium glycinate? Do you get a capsule? Do you do the liquid? What do you do?
I make my own capsules, actually, because it's less expensive, and there's no fillers. I know exactly what's in my capsules. There's if you buy the capsules already pre-made, which most people would. Nobody goes to the extremes that I do.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's fine. However you can get that into your body is the way you should do it, you know.
You're suggesting to those of the newbies out there who are going to go out today and get some magnesium that they should get the capsules. Am I correct? Okay.
Yes. Definitely, because the magnesium glycinate.
Because
is the one that's in the capsule.
So the glycamine is only in capsule form. Is that what you're explaining to us?
Yes, magnesium glycinate, GLYCINATE, is in capsule form.
And are there forms that are available in veggie caps for someone who's vegetarian?
Oh yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, because I know I don't buy tablets anymore, because I find that a lot of times tablets don't break down and they'll make it all the way, you know, through the intestinal tract, and they never get absorbed by the body and you end up eliminating them. And so I went to capsules many, many years ago. I had had an accident and I had a back x-ray after I had taken my supplements like 6 hours earlier, and the supplements I had taken in the morning showed up in my frickin' x-ray of my lower back. And that day I stopped taking, and I had heard studies about that, and I said, well, you know, and this is before I realized that, you know, just because a product's out there on the market doesn't mean it's working properly. And I had always heard never to take tablets, to always take capsules, because the capsules will break down and then the minerals can be absorbed. And that was the day I stopped taking a tablet form of supplements. And I'm not really sure why they're still on the market with so many studies showing that they don't break down. But capsules are much more effective. By the way, I looked up chelated while you were talking, and it says that chelated minerals are firmly attached to an amino acid or other organic compound, the idea being that the minerals stay attached throughout the digestive process. So I guess it's a carrier that brings it into the intestinal tract. I'm assuming that's what that means. And I've heard that chelated minerals make it further down into the intestinal tract than non-chelated, so I guess that has something to do with it.
So how do you know the difference between the two if you're out there purchasing this? Will it say on the label chelated?
Yes. Yeah, I've bought minerals chelated right on the label.
Okay.
And one of my other doctors, my homeopath, he used to tell me to only get chelated minerals, and I guess that's the reason why.
Well, that's a big piece of information to give to people, because I've never even heard the word, let alone knew what it meant. So,
I want to kind of reconfirm something Monica just said, because I completely agree with everything she just talked about. There have been studies with schizophrenia and Alzheimer's. I'll have to find, maybe I'll look for that today so we can bring it up either tomorrow or Friday in the show. But there were studies done at hospitals. One was an old age home, and the other one was at a psychiatric ward, where they changed the diet. Now, we're talking schizophrenia and we're talking Alzheimer's. These were people, the people with Alzheimer's were in their 80s. They already had dysfunctional Alzheimer's where they were in a hospital. The family couldn't care for them anymore. And in something like 85% of the patients, there was enough change in the Alzheimer's patients where they were able to go home. They regained enough of their cognitive memories, mental workings and memories where they could actually go home. And with the schizophrenia patients, there were several of the schizophrenia patients that actually recovered 100% from schizophrenia. They no longer had the diagnosis without medication, strictly by altering their diet. And some of the other ones had seen such drastic improvement that they were able to lower the meds to the point where they were no longer having side effects to the meds. So even the ones that were so severely schizophrenic that they still needed a pharmaceutical assist, the dose was lowered so much that the side effects were almost not noticeable. And many times with people that have psychiatric disorders, the reason they stop taking their meds is because the side effects are almost worse than the condition.
Yeah. I wanted to be able to talk about that too, because that is a big part of it, and that is a big part of the issue. So the study that you're talking about, Shell, very, very interesting. Is there a link to that that you have, or what did you look up to find that study?
One of the books I read, I'm going to have to scour my books later today so I can find the specific studies I'm talking about. I'll do that. But no, I don't know off the top of my head. I just remember reading it because I was very impressed by it. So I'll have to find those.
Okay. So that would be a plus. Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree with that. I've seen that firsthand with somebody who had Alzheimer's. First of all, coconut oil is very important for anybody who, their parents, whatever, are experiencing symptoms of Alzheimer's and dementia. And I did an experiment on somebody very close to me, who you know, Renee,
okay,
who had Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed their diet. I insisted that the diet be changed. Plenty of juicing. I did the juicing for them and walked it over every morning, fresh vegetables, organic vegetables and fruits, tons of coconut oil. I started out small, about a tablespoon per day, worked it up to about 5 tablespoons per day. There was such a huge difference. I mean, from something just as simple as a person who has dementia, and if they are still verbal, they stop repeating themselves. They actually hold a conversation. They know who you are. Things
wow.
like that. Amazing. And so much energy. And like you were saying, schizophrenia, you know, just changing the diet. The reason for that is B12. Vitamin B12 is a huge deficiency in people. And if you were to take B-complex, which is another one that I was giving this person, they had so much energy and talk all day long. It's so happy. The mood disorder that they had before with dementia, Alzheimer's, just being older, feeling like you're at the end of your life, you have no purpose. No, that all changes when you change the diet. The B-complex was a big one. Coconut oil and juicing was a big one for that. If anybody has an older person in their life that they're trying to help, that would just be so amazing and help so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And a lot of people think that if you're a vegetarian, that you are automatically B12 deficient, and that actually is not true. There are as many meat eaters who are B12 deficient as there are vegetarians, and it has nothing to do with that lifestyle. There was actually a study done. I had the article in one of my magazines where it was discovered that back in the this individual looked at anatomy books about the human body going back to like the 1800s, and there's actually an organ that's missing in modern man. There's only a small percentage of the population that still has this little tiny organ that's at the, I think it's near the duodenum, and that is the organ that used to manufacture and ferment B12 in the human body. And I think there's something like only 20 or 25% of the human population still has this organ. Most people don't have it. So the only way we can get B12 is by supplementing it in our diet. So it's not, well, you know, as many meat eaters are B12 deficient as vegetarians. And there is very good sources of vegetarian B12 out there in supplement form.
Can I just point something out? I was looking last night to get more information, and this is a study by Dr. Chris Kresser, and he says vitamin B12 is unique in that it is found in animal protein foods exclusively.
That's
and
not
if
true.
You're a vegetarian or a
absolutely
vegan.
Absolutely not true. Absolutely not
okay,
true.
Let each other talk, and then we will discuss. This is good information.
Okay.
Go ahead, Monica.
Plant foods that are said to contain vitamin B12 actually contain B12 analogs called cobamides that block intake of and increase the need for true B12. So what this doctor is saying is that if you decide to become a vegan or a vegetarian, you might be getting the plant proteins of B12. But you are not getting the true B12 that actually does something for your gut, because you have to have B12 in order to break down your food through the, you know, with your hydrochloric acid. You have to have high enough levels in your gut to break down vitamin B12. And if you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your gut, and so many people don't because they're self-medicating with acid reducers,
mm-hmm.
Because they don't realize the problem is actually the opposite. That's why they have heartburn, not because they have too much acid. It's because they don't have enough acid. And there's
mm-hmm.
tons of studies out there about that. But anyways.
Well, one of the natural ways of increasing hydrochloric acid, in fact, the only way of increasing hydrochloric acid in the stomach is with green leafy vegetables. That's where there's actually a book out there written by the Bachenko family because they had this, it's a raw food family, they created the green smoothies because a lot of people just can't tolerate eating a lot of green leafy vegetables. I read their book about it. It's a fascinating book. But they took people that were having ulcers and all other kind of digestive systems, put them on these green smoothies, and within 2 weeks, all their symptoms of acid reflux and things like that went away because it raised the hydrochloric acid in their stomach to an appropriate level. So they didn't have acid reflux. They didn't have all these other conditions that are related to having too low hydrochloric acid in the stomach. So that's a natural therapy right there. If you do green smoothies on a daily basis, that will correct your HCI levels over a period of a very short time, and then you start digesting food and sending it down into the intestines in the proper way. But I actually have an article on B12 which talks about that there are, in fact, the article actually talks about the fact that there are studies out there saying that there's no appropriate form of vegetarian B12, and it basically debunks that. So I can send you that article. But there are absolutely very, very sound forms of vegetarian B12, and vegetarians that take, not all B12, I do agree with that, not all B12 is complete or can be absorbed by the human body, but there are forms that are, and there are vegetarian forms of B12 that are actually superior to the animal forms of it.
Well, I think this is a good discussion, and I like that the two of you don't agree about everything, because these are the same kind of conversations that go on with other people, you know, because you read something and you know, it makes sense to you, so you take it verbatim, and then we find out later that perhaps there's another point of view, which is what talking is all about. So I would suggest this. I would suggest that both of you, from my point of view, are very, very knowledgeable about these things. So being able to explain to some of our listeners the differences and the options is a good thing. I do believe that everybody will make their own decision eventually anyway about anything. I think that's human beings. We're like that. But I think being able to show everybody the different points of view is imperative for them to make a good decision. So I have always, of course, Shelley and I were immersed in a place that backed up everything with something. But we also know that some of the things that we learned there are possibly not as true can be, for various reasons. So we're open to this. I am open to knowing what's right and what isn't right. So let's
keep
researching.
The other thing to
keep
in mind, and this is important for anybody, okay, and it's something that I employ in a lot of my research. If I read something in one place, I try to validate it through other sources of information. And the reason I say that is because if you take any topic, it like B12, that's one single topic in the whole nutrition field with thousands of subtopics, okay? If you start doing research on B12, you're going to find studies done at hospitals and universities that contradict each other. And this is where people throw their hands up and they say, okay, well, what do I believe? This doctor over here is saying this, and this doctor over here is saying, no, that's not true, this is true. So a couple of things to keep in mind is to follow the money, who funded the particular research, okay, like all the research out there about fish oils and things like that. A lot of the studies that say that fish oils are beneficial are actually funded by the industry that's trying to sell fish oils. Some of these studies that are showing that some fish oils are not good for us were funded by independent agencies. So if you follow the money, you can see the difference how one study comes out one way and another study done the exact same way comes up with different results. So what you have to do is you have to try to verify through other sources of information, educate yourself, and then just basically you're going to get to a point where you're just going to have to do what makes sense to you. Collect as much information as you can, make as best sense out of it as you can, and then move forward. Because there's so many contradictory pieces of information out there that at some point you're just going to have to listen to your own gut. And we all have that little voice within us that tells us whether or not something is going to be good for us or not. And it all comes down to the final point is that you really just have to listen to your own instincts and move forward, because there's no solution out there that's going to work for 100% of the people. All right, vegetarian works for me. It doesn't work for everybody. And that's one of the things I talk about in my book. If vegetarian isn't your solution, then there are good organic-based meat free-range options that can also bring somebody to superior health.
Well, let me say this really quickly here. A difference of opinion is always healthy. And what works for one doesn't always work for another. We've proven that on this show more than 10 times, I want to say, because we are all totally different. So I think finding your own way is certainly the right place to go. And I applaud both of you for researching and paying attention and understanding the things that you're reading. And I want to say that the whole world isn't like that. A lot of people want the quick fix and something that's in a capsule and something that just takes away all responsibility from themselves. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
We understand this. So I do think that everything that we can give to everybody that keeps it simple and is tried and true in most situation, we are not guaranteeing anything, and we're also not giving any disclaimers on anything. This is just a point of view from some people who have been interested enough to do the kind of research that it takes to come to these understandings. So let me say that I agree with both of you on different levels. I am a vegetarian. I often think about going back to eating meat because I eat way too many things that are bad for me as a vegetarian because they're quicker and easier. So my issues are of course, my own. But I'd like to answer a couple other questions in regard to this, and then we'll do a little bit of a catch-up on everything. I've been trying to write notes while the two of you are talking so that we can really analyze at the end of the show and tell people what they should be taking out of this particular show. When we talked about, you both have mentioned now Alzheimer's. You've both mentioned depression. We've talked about being able to relax with magnesium glycinate and being able to use the Bach remedies, and of course I'm familiar with that. I'm also familiar with the magnesium. However, let's talk a little bit about anxiety too. I realize that everything you've talked about, because of the things that you've said will help, I'm assuming, are going to help anxiety. Some people get so anxious that they get physically ill. They throw up. They get a headache that's so bad that it turns into a migraine. They have to go to bed in a dark room. You're familiar with all these things. I'd like you both to address those kind of maladies and see if we end up in the same place with these same remedies. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Basically,
okay.
It's the same thing. It's magnesium will also work on anxiety and depression. It does absolutely so much. And it also works on migraine headaches. I mean, if you were to spray some magnesium oil on the back of your neck, before, you know, when you first feel the first inkling of a headache, within a half hour or so, you will not have that headache. I mean, it really works. I've done it. I've used it. There's also a couple of other vitamins that help with depression, anxiety, and that would be, like I said, the B complex. And for me, the best form of that is desiccated liver. I hate liver, cannot eat it, but I can dehydrate it, grind it up, and put it in a capsule and take that. And that provides the whole range of B, vitamins, iron, and that has just been a world of difference. It just makes me so calm. Definitely I get that happy feeling. I am so much more happier and calmer because normally what I was before was a crazy person. I would rush around like a nut. Nothing at all like my husband, as you know, Renee. He is
mm-hmm.
so calm. I don't know how he does it. But
He's a thinker. He moved
absolutely.
Into his head instead of into his motion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I mm-hmm. was the crazy one, you know, running around like a nut. And this has been so amazing. And another one is vitamin D3. People are not getting enough vitamin D, just like magnesium. So, especially during the winter, well, you in Florida, you know, you're different. But up here,
We've heard that before.
yeah.
That we're different, yes. We hear that a lot.
I didn't mean it like that. But as far as the sunshine, we don't get much of it, so we have to supplement in the winter with vitamin D3, and that should be taken with your largest meal for it to be, you know, really get into your body.
Is there a particular form that you would be an advocate of for D3?
No, the vitamin, it's usually, I believe it's a little red pill, whatever it is.
Oh, okay. I've never even shopped for D3, so.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Also there is a liquid vitamin D3 that I've seen on the internet, and that gets into your system a lot faster. But here's another thing. So many people are putting sunscreen on their body, on their face. Don't do it. First of all, it's loaded with all kinds of toxic chemicals, and you need the sunshine.
Right.
So people are afraid of getting sunburnt. Well, if you eat more coconut oil and get more natural grass-fed fats, this is my thing, you know, get more natural grass-fed fats into your body, or if you're a vegetarian, go for the coconut oil, and mm-hmm. you will not get a sunburn.
That's
You've
right.
got to have that sun on your face to soak up those vitamin D that you would normally get from the sun.
Well, actually, they've actually done studies where they've showed that that most of the commercial sunscreens actually cause skin cancer.
Absolutely.
Those conditions mm-hmm. because of all the toxic chemicals in it. There are companies, again, because I always shop at Whole Foods, there are companies that make safe sunscreens, you know, if you don't want to go through that burn because it is painful, but they don't have any of the aluminums in them. They don't have any of the toxic, because if you read the tube, it's like free of everything, you know, it's like free of this, free of that, you know, so I do get that kind of sunscreen because I got a burn so bad many, many years ago because I wasn't wearing sunscreen, and it was an overcast day. I didn't even realize I was being baked, and I actually got sun poisoning. I was sick for like a week. So, you know, if you know you're going to be in that kind of intense heat for that many hours, then you do have to wear something to protect your skin. But I stay clear of the sunscreens, the commercial sunscreens, because those are the ones that are toxic to our body. But there are companies out there that sell them that are free of all the different layers of chemicals that actually bring about skin cancer and toxify the body.
Okay, but so that's a big point for those Floridians.
Well, yeah, but if you go with coconut oil and you're building up your inner system, your body, by eating mm-hmm. coconut oil, using it when you cook instead of
How much would you have to ingest in a day for it to actually be beneficial?
Two
do,
tablespoons.
Do you know the amount?
Two tablespoons.
Okay,
every day. And you know how easy that is? Get a... English muffin, okay, toast it, and you could even buy sprouted English muffins that are organic.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to get that wheat, spread it on your English muffin, then put on some grass-fed butter, and then put on your cinnamon or your jelly, whatever. One tablespoon on each slice of English muffin. That's what I do every day. It's
well, you
so
know,
easy
Earth
and it
Balance,
is so good.
Which is a vegan spread, actually makes a coconut oil vegan spread now.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to mention that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually tried it, and you can actually taste a hint of the coconut. I've used it as a spread on toast, and you can actually taste a little bit of hint of the coconut. It tastes wonderful. It's completely vegan. It melts like butter, and it has a very, very nice flavor to it.
Well, I think that's good input because that's easier for people. And like I said, we're all out for the quick fix, so that sounds like something that most people would be like, oh, I can just go over to the store and buy that, and I don't have to worry about what I'm doing. I can just do, you know, like it's normally what I would do with a spread. So that's good input. Let me ask you something. Let's be very clear about one thing, because a few times when you've said use the coconut oil and then we talk about sunscreen. Do you see where somebody might get confused about this, girls? So let's make very clear. She is talking about ingesting coconut oil. 2 tablespoons a day will build up in your body, keep you from getting sunburned, so that you don't have to use anything topically. Don't everybody go out and buy coconut oil and smear it all over their body. That's not what she's suggesting. So it's about doing something internally that builds up something that will stay with you. It's not it's not about just a smear here and a smear there and now you're protected. And, of course, all the other things.
Didn't Victoris Kozvenkis used to give a lecture about eating sea vegetables and how if you eat a certain amount of sea vegetables, like seaweed or different types of sea vegetable salads, didn't he also talk about that the iodine in there would protect you from sunburns and that you could actually walk into, it also protected you from radiation damage, which is basically what a sunburn is. It's radiation damage to the skin.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you remember
he did
that?
Do a lecture on that, and he prepares that kind of food for himself all the time, the seaweeds and things like that. And, I believe he did exactly that lecture.
Because Dr. Teresa Dale is actually she's a medical doctor, and she's actually, she also advocates vegetarianism. She healed herself from cancer, and she's written some books now, and she talks about, she actually has a packet for radiation damage because so many people are suffering from it and they don't even know. So she actually has supplements out now to help people to recover from radiation damage. A lot of people are exposed to it at their jobs or from sunburns and things like that, and she actually has been doing a study as to what it does to the internal workings of the body.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another show, but I agree that, but I love coconut oil isn't expensive. Of course, here in Florida, one of the big things is fresh coconut milk. A lot of people at the Institute, we had one day a week when those of our guests that were healthy enough would fast, and they'd have fresh coconut milk in the middle of the day.
Water. Coconut water through. And coconut milk are
coconut
two different things.
Right. Coconut water. And I think that it is very beneficial, and of course here in Florida, that kind of stuff is easy to come by. Matter of fact, the flea market in Sunrise has coconuts every Sunday when I'm there, and they're great, kind of just like how
lucky
we serve
you.
Them at Hippocrates. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, along with the other bad things they say about us, there's a few good things they say about us. So let's condense a little bit. I'm going to read. Girls, correct me if I say something that I didn't take in the right way. Magnesium glycinate, it will, in capsule form, is perfect for anxiety and depression. Don't expect to take 2 capsules and be okay. This is stuff that you're going to work on. This is stuff that you're working on from the inside out. Just like an engine on a car. You're going to change the oil, and it's going to take a little while for the oil to get pushed through the whole engine. So, coconut oil for Alzheimer's, any kind of dementia. 2 tablespoons a day is the perfect dose. And then Shelley talked about the leafy green juice, which I am aware of too. That family is amazing, and they overcame many things. And the leafy green juice that you can get from like kale and spinach and any of your leafier greens, which of course is rich in chlorophyll and all the other things that we know that are good for us, will help with it was the B complex, right, Shelley?
Yes.
Okay.
The hydrochloric acid in the stomach.
Hydrochloric acid. Okay. Did everybody get that? That's to help your gut.
Right.
Okay. Then we have a great remedy that I hope everybody that calls me and asks me about their headaches can utilize, and that's a magnesium oil sprayed on the back of your neck. Epsom salt baths, incredibly healing, easy to do. Monica talked about the B complex. She dehydrates liver and then grinds it up and puts it in capsule forms. If you're not a vegetarian or a vegan, that's something for you to do as well. And the D3 vitamin will also help with, your mood, your depression, all the other kinds of things, because you need sunshine. And try not to use any more commercialized sunscreen on your face. We're out of time, girls. This was awesome. I think we gave out a lot of really, really wonderful information. I want to wish everybody an awesome day. And this team will be back on the air next Wednesday. So join us and call us if you have any questions that you'd like to have these ladies research for you and help you with. Everybody have a wonderful day. God bless. Thank you, girls. It was a great show. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Monica. Thanks, Renee. Talk to you in the morning.